It's legal to possess and grow marijuana in Maine, so that's the marijuana crop in the
state.
Was Trump caused by failure? Failure of U.S. culture revealed by the death of the rule of law. This delivered Trump the election. The fake outrage now is nonsensical. When we see failure abounding all around and that Obama and the elites had more failure planned on the horizon, what lessons can we draw? In terms of refugees and entitlement, how needing becomes wanting becomes owning. Or owing. When refugees talk about your country as if they already are in it while living elsewhere, when those outside the USA without citizenship are outraged at not being let in, when the left implodes at the tiniest delays for new entries, we have failed to communicate the most basic message about our land to others who don't live here, who are not citizens. You are owed nothing. We need to grab onto the opportunity afforded by Trump and refigure our great land and beautiful society before it all comes tumbling down. Good morning, Kelly O'Connell, 6:07. And I was hit by a couple of things last night as I was preparing for the show. And the main one is that we have been on the precipice of collapse for a long time and didn't even really realize it, like a house riddled with termites. Waiting for it to all come down, yet on the outside it looks perfectly fine. The inside, the structure is slowly crumbling. The society that says anybody can come in here, all you have to do is show up, you get it all, you're already a citizen, like the insane Nancy Pelosi standing at the southern border, talking to the news cameras, pointing out that come in Americans, in the same way that the president says, you know, you're a citizen because you vote. You don't vote after you become a citizen. So we put out this idea to all of these people around the world in what is increasingly becoming clear to be an entitled world. A world that thinks they're owed everything. And these people get in their mind that they're already Americans, that they're owed a life over here, that they're owed the safety and prosperity. And for heaven's sakes, I mean, the left communicates that, all of the prosperity over here is the result of theft and trickery. We tricked the Indians into giving us their land, sold us their land for a bunch of beads, or we just went in and took it over. Capitalism is theft. I mean, we've poisoned the teaching of generations of youth, and then we wonder why people can't take part in the democratic system. So now you've got this acting attorney general who decided that she didn't believe in the executive order. So what she does is she goes and she tells people, don't worry about Donald Trump's executive order. You don't have to follow it. Now, what happened? She got fired, like in any job where you don't do what you're supposed to. But of course, people are outraged at that. So it struck me that we're living in a time when the rule of law doesn't mean anything. What means something is what you personally believe. So you've got this trait out of leftism, which is the so-called sincerity generation. I mean, whether Yates knew that Trump meant it as a Muslim ban or not, which is what she said, she decided that she wasn't going to enforce it because it was a Muslim ban. I mean, is that really the issue here? That the rule of law is up to her? She's going to personally decide whether something is the law or not. And so she just tells everybody, you don't have to follow this. And what happens, she gets canned. And then people start talking about what a hero she is. And, you know, you've got all of these lefties who are just going absolutely nuclear. And so we find out once again, the media is going to lie to us and to misrepresent what the order was about. The order is a delay from seven countries for people coming to America for 90 days and a deeper vetting process. That's what this is all about. Seven countries that have been associated with terrorism. But the president doesn't have a right to do that. And if he was going to do it, he had to telegraph it ahead of time, right? Even though the administration has said if we did that, it would have caused chaos. It would have caused people to try to get in as quickly as possible. But, you know, the president has the right to do these things, right? Just like President Obama had the right to do his executive orders. But because the left considers itself above the law, because the left sees itself as lex animata, the living law, and that's what a lot of this stuff comes down to. So you've got the left media, the elite media, saying we control reality. We're going to tell you what the news is. Whether we use a real story or a made-up story, we're going to do that to show you what the truth is. And the truth is Donald Trump can't get into office. But when he gets into office, then they have to continue down on the same road. So, you know, I mean, this situation is, you know, it's a complete hoax. You know, it's these people have to have their things their way. A new president comes in with a new way of seeing things, but he has to bow down and do everything the same way the old president did it, even though he ran on a promise that he was going to change all this stuff. So Barack Obama has this highly irresponsible policy for bringing in people from around the world, some of which cannot be fact-checked, cannot be background-checked, right? So when somebody else comes into office and tries to change this, there's it's pandemonium, but it's all coming from the left. And it turns out there's 109 people out of 320,000 that traveled that day that are put on this list. But these people, because they already had visas, some of them, I guess, or whatever they had, relocation orders, these people were owed citizenship in America. And, you know, you hear some of them talking, well, they took my family and they stuck them in a little room like criminals. Well, you know what? When you're a criminal, you know what little room you're stuck in? A jail cell. So just stop complaining. These people are, and you see it, it is the same. We are seeding out from America this idea of entitlement, and it's poisoning the world. These people who live in other countries think that they are Americans and they're owed a place over here, and they're not. I mean, let's be honest. That's what has led up to this disaster in the first place. Anyway, here's a little bit on Yates being fired, and it's a good thing she was.
Acting Attorney General Sally Yates, a holdover from the Obama administration, ordered the Justice Department not to defend President Trump's executive order on immigration in court. CBS News Justice reporter Paula Reed is in Washington. So, Paula, what can you tell us about this?
Elaine, as you noted, Sally Yates was a former second in command of the Obama Justice Department. She stayed on a little bit longer to run the Justice Department until they have a confirmed attorney general. And late today, she issued an order saying that the Department of Justice will not defend the president's executive order on immigration. In her letter, she said she is not convinced that this policy is wise or lawful.
And how surprising is this move?
This is incredibly surprising because the Department of Justice has been defending this policy for several days now. Specifically on Saturday night when that Brooklyn judge held a hearing, it was the Department of Justice, civil lawyers from the Department of Justice, who were defending the government's position. Now, we had colleagues who were in the courtroom, and they noted that the lawyers didn't seem very prepared. They seemed a little bit confused about how to actually defend this policy. That was common across various agencies. As we've now learned, there wasn't a lot of talk amongst the agencies.
What is so indefensible about this ban? Or it's not even a ban, it's just a waiting period. What is so controversial? What is so unbelievable or just incredible about this executive order that these people couldn't understand it and implement it and couldn't argue it in front of the judge? If you've got a bunch of employees who refuse to do what you order them to do, and then they go and they're not enthusiastic, and then the person that you put over these employees then goes around and tells them, don't worry about it. You don't have to worry about it. It's illegal. Trump had no choice but to fire this lady. Everything can't be about politics. Everything can't be about your personal beliefs. You know, is anybody discussing whether Yates's personal beliefs are wrong? It's a political decision. She's a holdover. She's a dead ender. She's still loyal to Obama. That's what this is about. The president has a right to make these decisions. They're helpful for America in the long term in terms of putting extra vetting on these people. And he's got the right to do it. That's the main thing. You know, this is not exactly Hitler shipping Jews to Dachau, you know. This is Donald Trump is just trying to tighten up the screws on immigration and people go crazy. Is that what we're going to have? 4 or 8 years of this crazy baby-like behavior? And the number of lies that have been put out about this ban are really ridiculous. Here, continuing on with this stupid story here.
About this policy before it was enacted. But now, several days later, the Department of Justice is saying they will not defend it as long as Sally Yates is the Deputy Attorney General and acting as the Attorney General.
Well, as you know, Paula, President Trump's pick for Attorney General Jeff Sessions is set to be confirmed by the Senate. Could he reverse this?
Yes, he is expected to be confirmed. He's scheduled possibly to be confirmed tomorrow, and he can absolutely reverse this. This is just the guidance given from the top of the Department of Justice to the line prosecutors who would be responsible. So absolutely, if he is confirmed, we can expect that he will reverse this guidance.
In the meantime, Paula, could President Trump fire Sally Yates?
She is fired. But that came out yesterday, and so here's a little bit more on this.
Hi, everyone. I'm Elaine Quijano. Acting Attorney General Sally Yates, a holdover from the Obama administration, has been relieved of her duties. The news came hours after Yates told lawyers within the Justice Department not to defend President Trump's immigration ban in court. The White House released a statement Monday night saying Yates, quote, betrayed the Department of Justice by refusing to enforce a legal order designed to protect the citizens of the United States. The statement also called Yates weak on borders and very weak on illegal immigration. President Trump has named Dana Bente, U.S. Attorney of the Eastern District of Virginia, to serve as acting attorney general.
So, you know, this is what all these lefties think, these far lefties think, that they are the rule. If they don't agree with something, then it's not law, which totally destroys the idea of behind the idea. Well, it destroys law. It destroys the idea of law and the rule of law. And so you've got all of these people and the media and Hollywood are all out of the same group. But what they don't realize is if somebody comes in, somebody who uses their same theory about law and goes after the law to attack it, they can be personally the subject of this type of thing, you know? Here's a little bit more, though. Alan Dershowitz, acting attorney general, made a mistake on Trump executive order. It was a political decision.
Harvard Law Professor Emeritus Alan Dershowitz, Mark Preston, and Jamie Gangel. Alan, let me start with you. What do you make of this? Sally Yates coming out, the sitting attorney general, and defying an order from the president of the United States.
Well, Sally Yates is a terrific public servant, but I think she's made a serious mistake here. This is a holdover heroism. It's so easy to be a heroine when you're not appointed by this president, when you're on the other side. She made a serious mistake. I think what she should have done is done a nuanced analysis of what parts of the order are constitutional, what parts are in violation of the statute, what parts are perfectly lawful. There's an enormous distinction between green card holders on the one hand, people who are in the country and have to be thrown out on the second hand, and people who are simply applying to get visas. There is also a distinction between what's constitutional, what's statutorily prohibited, what's bad policy. This is very bad policy,
yes,
but what's lawful. And I think by lumping all of them together, she has made a political decision rather than a legal one.
And that obviously could carry its own issues. I want to just do a follow on with you before I bring everyone else in, Alan. And just on this, I don't know if you heard Senator Schumer. He kept repeatedly saying that he doesn't think it's constitutional, that judge after judge is ruling in that direction, were the words that he used. Of course, the different rulings have been regarding detentions and green card holders and various other issues. Do you agree that it is not lawful, or do you think that given the wide parameters the president of the United States has to set these sorts of things, that he is within his legal rights?
Well, I think it's some of it's constitutional, some of it's not constitutional. For example, there is a statute that limits the president's power and says that visas may not be denied on the basis of religion. Is that statute constitutional, or is it a claim on presidential authority? These are very complicated legal issues, and people shouldn't jump into them. You know, we have a hobby in this country. If you don't like something, you assume it's unconstitutional. Even my colleague Elizabeth Warren pointed to a part of the Constitution that says no religious test shall ever be required, but she didn't read the second part of it. For holding of office under the United States government, it has nothing to do with visas. On the other hand, the First Amendment says Congress shall make no law. So it's a prohibition on congressional action and presidential action.
Right.
I could teach a whole seminar on this subject. It's very complicated, very nuanced, and we shouldn't get political about it when we're talking about the Constitution.
So, and you raise a great point. People always like to invoke the Constitution. It's one of their favorite things. But Mark, obviously, tonight, no laughing.
So Alan Dershowitz, who I wouldn't always necessarily agree with, was named the youngest law professor in the history of Harvard. And he's getting onto this point here. We've lost the idea of the rule of law, and all that matters is that a person is sincere and gives up and shares their sincere belief, unless there's somebody who's on the right and then they're a fascist. I mean, this is a crazy way to interpret what Trump is doing. Every single thing that he does is, you know, this is like being around somebody who's like, you know, like mentally ill, and the tiniest sound causes them to jump. You know, they can't be around any noise. They've you know, lost their mental health. They've had a nervous breakdown. That's what these leftists are like. It is just unbelievable to see them. And so how many times is the elite media gonna cry wolf on Trump before people just stop tuning in? I mean, I think every time this happens, more and more people are going to tune out. They're going to cancel cable. They're going to stop watching these people on the internet because all they do is lie. And Trump's in there, you know, make the best of it. Ray Charles, you don't know me? A little bit of, you know, when Ray Charles decided to go into the direction of country, people couldn't believe it either. So, anyway, 6:25, Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, and we'll be back to pick into, I've got a lot of stuff today, so we'll be right back. AM Las Cruces, AM 1450,
523-1450. Oh, you give your hand to me, and then you say hello.
And we do have a phone call. Good morning. Thanks for calling in. Who's this?
This is Joel Kelly.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Somebody is on the other line. Hold on a second there. I got to figure out what's going on with the board here. But here, let me put it on. Can you hear me?
Yes, Kelly.
Hello.
Can you hear me, Kelly?
I don't. Call me back. I cannot hear you. All right. So anyway, I don't know whose end that was on, but it looks like I had all the buttons pushed. But here's the thing. Who is going to decide what the law is? Is it going to be a person in office? I mean, certainly there have probably been many, many times in history. And let me see if this works this time. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell Show. Can you hear me?
Yes, Kelly.
I see that my second here. Can you hear me? Hello.
Yes.
I am not. I don't know what's going on with my board this morning. We'll see
can
if
you
we
can
figure it out on the break. Call me back. Call me back in a few minutes after I take a break and I figure this out, folks. You know, the radio studio comes equipped with a big board called a radio on-air console, and that's what everything goes through. So there may be something that's not been put. Well, let's. You know what? I think I might have discovered it. So give me a call back. But anyway, there's like 50 or 100 buttons on here. So who's going to decide what the law is? There have been many, many times in history, of course, that people have been in situations and have asked to do things that are wrong. And so the upshot from that is that those people were justified in not doing this thing. But anyway, thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell Show. Can you hear me?
Yes.
You know,
can you hear me now?
I'm not hearing you, and I don't think.
Okay.
I don't think that anything is going out over the airways from the phone. So,
okay.
Call me back after I take a break, and I'll see if I can get somebody to help me figure out what this is. But are you there? Pushing every button, every button there is here. But just call me back after the break. I'll get somebody in to try to help me. All right. So here's the thing. Let me go to break right now in just a minute so that I can figure this out, because I do want to get your phone calls. But I think that, you know, you are going to have to decide who decides what the law means and whether it's legal. And if you put every person in a position of authority and you say you can decide what the law means and you can decide if it's legal or not, and so what the result of that would be, total chaos, right? And each person would be a king or a queen. So what's the alternative to that? And the alternative to that is what we've always done, which is the rule of law. And the rule of law is the idea that we live in a nation of laws, not personalities. So it doesn't, for example, matter what Sally Yates thinks. And I'm sure she's become an absolute superstar in left circles because she stood up, she spoke truth to power. Now, she was the number two attorney general, so she's not some little mouse, you know. But so the rule of law is what we've always, you know, we've always attached ourselves to. And now that Trump is in there, there's this idea out there. All of these leftist ideas are extremely dangerous. And at the same time, they're a little bit hard to pin down because, for example, everybody believes that if you're in a position of authority and you're asked to do wrong, you should stop. You shouldn't do it. or you should quit. But at what level, you know? And this decision that this woman made, what about all of her, what about all the decisions that Obama made through executive orders that were unconstitutional, truly unconstitutional? How many of those did she stand up to? So it becomes, as opposed to being this very thoughtful and deep and profound person, she's just a political hack who's in there and is trying to damage Trump, and she's fired immediately. Now, is it possible that what Trump did is illegal? Sure. I mean, yeah, sure. But there's a, from what I can tell, it's within his power, his decision-making power. And let me just ask you this. How unreasonable is it to suggest that having run on this as a policy, that he's going to make it harder for people from areas of radicalism to get into the country? They're going to go through more vetting. How extraordinary is this decision? I mean, it seems pretty lame in terms of, or it seems pretty, I should say, not lame, but mild. You know? So I don't know. I mean, this is apparently what we have to live through now, from now on, this just permanent tantrum. Somehow Trump got in unfairly, and from now on, we have to live that out every day by kicking and screaming and pounding the floor and denying him the right, the authority. This is the left's thing. The left loves to suggest that other people don't have authority. Now, a leftist can take over a country and act as a dictator and there's no denial that they have authority, but somebody, you know, like Trump comes in. It's boring to even talk about it. It's just so dumb. 6:36, we'll take a break here and I'll fix the phone. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 523-1450.
Oh, you don't know the one who dreams of you at night. And long to kiss your lips. And long to hold you tight. To you, I'm the death of friends. That's all I've ever been.
Okay, I think that, yeah, I've got it fixed now. So I was just, there was one button that wasn't pushed out of hundreds. So go ahead and call in 523-1450, and I do apologize. But all right, so, I mean, I can read you the headlines, but you kind of know what's going on. The upshot is that there has been a decision made to make it harder to get into the country from various other countries that have had the previous administration indicated was more likely to spawn terrorists. And so that alone, I mean, it just is caused an absolute, you know, nuclear meltdown. And so, to what extent does, this president, what is he allowed to do? And, so anyway, in further news, only 27% want the Patriots to repeat or to win the Super Bowl this year. And they've got a picture of Brady holding up his two hands with four rings on them. So greatest of all time. You know, is that out of the realm of possibilities? It would be interesting to have a new team at the top, of course. All right, so you've got this. What I had mentioned, if you heard the opening of the show, this failure of the elite vision. Think about all of the things that we have tried to do in the last 10 years, 15 years. That have totally failed. We entered a war without being attacked by a country. That war did not pan out too well. We lost goodwill through that throughout the whole Middle East. We spent probably, it's trillions of dollars, right, to rebuild the country. They didn't want us there. We tried to inject democracy into that area, and we forgot the number one rule of democracy is the people have to understand it and ask for it. You can't just deliver it. We've had a president who's more interested in global warming and claimed that it was a bigger danger to the world than ISIS. As we watched tens of thousands of people that were executed across the Middle East in the most inventive and cruel ways possible, lighting them on fire, drowning them in cages, recently having children come up and pump a bullet into their head, that they capture groups of teenage girls and use them as prostitutes until they throw them away. They buy and sell women on the market and state that this is done in the name of Allah and the Sharia, the Quran. We have had a public policy in which we claimed that it was the best thing possible for America to lead from behind, which is that's like a steak special at the local vegetarian restaurant. It's a total contradiction. We've had a porous border under the theory, whatever the theory means, that the people who live outside of America have equal rights to come in here as the citizens who live here. And we've got a phone call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Joe.
Hey, Joe, were you trying to call earlier?
Yes, Kelly.
I do apologize. I think I've got it fixed. I'm not the most tech guy you've ever met, but so what's going on, Joe? How's the church treating you? You're the same Joe that is a Catholic, I believe.
Yes, and this call has a lot to do with that. All of a sudden, the Constitution is very important to them, but Obama used it as a rug to step on.
He used
it as toilet paper. But they didn't say anything about it then.
Yeah. All right, so let's get down to the meat of the call. What's going on?
You know, I think, Kelly, this is the part where it's the separation. Have you read the separation of the sheep from the goat?
I've seen this.
I think that's what's taking place. I didn't vote for Obama because I recognized what he would probably turn out to be, because he was for abortion in the beginning, and he funded it and all that, and I was right. You know, he's a liar. I don't follow liars. And so these people are, if they can't be obedient to man, they can't be obedient to God.
Well, and I mean, it is kind of remarkable that this person, this Sally Yates, suddenly decided to stand up against an unconstitutional order. Where was she during the 8 years of Obama?
That's right. That's right. We voted him in. You know, he is the king. He's the king. You know, now, and we have to abide by his what he puts forth. And he's putting forth nothing but truth and obedience. And we're supposed to obey. You know, and he's an honest man. What are we supposed to do? Let everybody into this country, and where are they going to work? How are they going to be sustained?
Well, you know, we've been dealing with that from the South. We've had all of these people in that. If you looked at the numbers of the jobs that were created in America in the last 10 years, the illegal employment covers all of that. I mean, it's like our economy has not grown at all. And then the left insists on mixing in humanitarianism with immigration law, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I had a situation here years ago where I was put in charge of a subdivision, and the boss sent this man to help me, but his dad was working down there also, and he went across the street and he told that man, you're not working with him. You come with me. The next morning, I didn't tell nobody about it. The next morning, all of a sudden, the boss calls this man over here and says, come here, James. And then he says, who did I tell you to work with yesterday? He says, you told me to work with Joe. And he said, who did you work with? He said, I worked with my dad. He says, you get your lunch and get the hell out of here. He says, I'm the one that pays you your paycheck, not your dad.
Yeah. And I mean, so you've got Obama now. He like moves across the street from the White House and is already doing counterintelligence. He's already, you know.
Yes, yes. No, I rebuke all these people that are acting this way in the name of Jesus Christ, because you know if they can't be obedient to man, which is Trump, they can't be obedient to God. You can't pray and act like that, you know, at the same time. Thank you, Kelly.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for your patience. All right, folks. Now, man, I've got some clips here, but I just want to throw this idea out to you. And there's an article I would highly recommend. Either go to Real Clear Politics and find it, or Google it. Why do we have a refugee crisis? Because of elite failures on foreign policy and immigration. So here's the thing. I've mentioned it to you a million times already. The elites have a vision. The vision is more or less connected with reality. In some parts, it's just insane. In other parts, it's kind of tapping into older ideas. But where it taps into older ideas is, for example, utopianism. You can't build a utopia on Earth. And in trying to do so, you're going to kill everybody. Between building it and forcing everybody to live in it, you're going to end up killing everybody. So think of globalism as a worldwide utopia with some elements of free market capitalism, with some elements of human rights, and really the authority going to a superstructure that's no different than this Tower of Babel that they wrote about in the old days, building a level of authority that's so high that nobody can really challenge it on Earth. All right, we'll take a break here. 751 Kelly O'Connell, AM Los Cruces. 523-1450 to call in and get your comments on the record.
I never knew the art of making love.
All right. So one of the other things that the globalists put out there is that, and this is done through the United Nations and through the American media and the Europeans and everything, put out this nonsensical idea. The United Nations has these World Heritage Sites. So they might come to America and say the Grand Canyon is a United Nations World Heritage Site. They're kind of taking authority over it, right? Well, they're also pumping out these ideas out there that people have a right to come here, and nobody has the right to come to another country unless that country gives them blessing, right? I mean, just in general principle. But you've got all of these people that they interviewed that were supposedly inconvenienced. Maybe they were inconvenienced. Their families were stopped. They were put in a holding room or whatever. People are outraged. They don't sound any different than any typical leftist who you talk to about anything that they're unhappy about. They're outraged. They deserve to be treated better. The reason we were coming to America, it's the last greatest hope. It's the greatest country. And we were looking forward to moving here. I don't hear any of them saying, my God, I'm so grateful to go to America. I don't mind waiting an extra 90 days. We're so happy that the Americans would have us. We're so grateful that there's such a country in the world that would actually take in people from areas where there is no economic vitality or there's torture or whatever. And so you've got seeded into how exactly it happens. It must be through the world media that the United States has created. But this idea that these people are owed something, it's painful to listen to this, just in the outrage and the sense of entitlement and the demand for better treatment. They're on the verge of moving to the United States, the world's premier economy, the world's premier cultural state, the country that has more influence on the way the rest of the world thinks than probably the rest of the countries put together. And they're outraged that they have to wait a month or 3 months or whatever it is. And I would think that America would gain from not having people like that come here, because we've got enough entitled people here already, outraged, furious, and just think about some of the people, and this has really happened in the last maybe 5 years that I've noticed, the number of people who are entitled and are waiting on you to meet their needs, which is kind of crazy. They'll put the biggest, I see this in the law practice, they'll put the biggest responsibility on you to meet their needs, but at the same time, they wouldn't take 5 seconds to hear about your life. They're not interested in you, and they're not, they're here to be served. And we used to have a country that was based on some, in some rough sense, based on the Bible and the idea that Jesus said that he came to serve and not be served. And we've completely inverted it, and we have created a monster. I mean, to deal with people like that is the worst punishment, and we're breeding them by the million. 6:59, Kelly O'Connell, Animal Law Screw System. We'll be back after a break on the hour on the 31st day of January. I'm All right, so we've got the situation in the capital of America, and there was a decision to into place a ban, or a, it really it's not. I don't understand why they're calling it a ban, because these people are not banned. What they're doing is they put in an order to slow down the immigration of people from seven countries that have been associated with Islamic terrorism or terrorism. I don't know which way to, you know, put it. Now the lady who was the attorney general, the acting attorney general who got fired, said the reason she decided to ban it, to ban the ban, if you will, is because she heard the president talking about Islam, which doesn't even make sense to me, because, you know, I mean, it would be one thing to see if the president got up and said, I'm banning these people, but the reason is because they're Muslims. He didn't say that. He put a ban on the Arab. Now, see, this is the result of propaganda. You get hit with this stuff, and then it sticks in your mind whether it's true or not, because it's the first thing that you hear about it. All right. So anyway, all right. So let me get you some headlines here. President's first week for many in Arizona. It doesn't get better than this. I got to look at that article. Digital interrogation, travelers' phones, socials scanned at airports. I think that's reasonable. The head of Amazon, Jeff Bezos, is challenging Trump's order. And Washington Post, which is owned by Bezos, is attacking Trump, saying it's from order to disorder. Microsoft working with Washington State on a lawsuit against Trump. They've got a phenomenon that they have never seen before, which is the volcano in Hawaii is pumping out lava flows like a fire hose into the ocean. It's pretty remarkable. Geologists saying they've never seen this phenomenon before. The leader in the French race for president is a far right person, Le Pen. Shocking, in a shocking case, chimpanzees have beaten, murdered, and cannibalized a former leader of their tribe that was a cannibal, that was a tyrant. They have cannibalized him. They've eaten him, his body. Interestingly. Now, they've got this thing. I put a couple of stories about this. Scientists find oldest human ancestor. If I showed you what this thing looked like, you wouldn't believe it. You know, the amount of falsification in science is big, but the amount of falsification in the science of so-called evolutionary history is astounding. And you can't, there is no fossil that they discover that they don't look at and find some element. So it has an extra horn. It has a third eye. You know, it's got a tail that's 10 times longer than any other animal. And there's always this lecture on how this stuff helped it survive. Now, this thing is called Saccharitis coronarius, based on an artist's reconstruction based on a fossil. Actual creature probably no more than a millimeter in size, and yet these scientists feel eminently justified in saying that this critter was a precursor to humans. Fossilized traces of a supposed 554 million year old creature, which is exquisitely well preserved. The microscopic, think about this. Human ancestor, you would think some sort of a chimp, right? Speaking of which, a chimpanzee, a bonobo, but fill in the blank, you know, Well, no, this is an early ancestor. How do they know that? Well, because researchers in the Journal of Nature have said that Saccharitis is the most primitive example of a category of animals called deuterostomes, which are common ancestors of a broad range of species, including vertebrates, backboned animals, and it's about a millimeter in size, and it is thought to have lived between grains of sand on the seabed. So, give you an idea of how small it is. To the naked eye, one BBC person commenting to the BBC, to the naked eye, fossils we studied looked like tiny black grains, but under the microscope, the level of detail was jaw-dropping. But it just so happens to be 540 million years old. Now, how would they establish that? Well, it's not through carbon dating, because that only goes back between 20 and 50,000 years. So it is done in some other way that is... would probably strike you as not terribly scientific. It was symmetrical. And which is a characteristic inherited by many of its evolutionary descendants, including humans. And it was covered with a thin, relatively flexible skin and muscles, leading the researchers to conclude that it moved by contracting its muscles and got around by wriggling like a tiny worm. The researchers say its most striking feature is its large mouth. So maybe they're saying it's a precursor to Donald Trump. No, I'm just kidding. But realistically speaking, here's the thing that amazes me about scientific exclamations like this. Number one, where is the evidence that this is a precursor to humans? Because basically what they're saying is it's a precursor to everybody, therefore it's a precursor to humans. But where's the proof? Number one. And number two, where's the challenge? And I don't understand how you would prove this is a precursor to human beings, this teeny tiny little critter that lived between grains of sand. But how would you disprove it? I mean, it's a gratuitous, a completely meaningless statement. Where's the evidence? So anyway, that's what I'm saying. There's all this falsification in science, and this stuff like this is never even challenged. I mean, maybe they go behind the scenes and fight it out, but nobody ever, seems to stand up and say this is actually not really true. All right, more stories. 27% of people want the Patriots to repeat. Oprah to become a special contributor to 60 Minutes. Oh, good Lord, I thought we got rid of her. Scientist Tom Brady's diet is total BS. Elite German military base, revelations of sadistic naked sex rituals. There's always been this connection between Germany and the gay movement for some reason. The first modern example of gay rights comes out of Germany. I've got this in a book. Maybe I'll bring it in. Musk, the guy that invented this super electric car, planning to plug computers into human brains. China testing missile with 10 warheads. New Mexico, most snow in century. Uh-oh, global warming. It's got to be caused by global warming. Mechanic finds 31 pounds of cocaine hidden in American Airlines plane in the nose. You know you got problems if you got 31 pounds of cocaine stuck in your nose. Skipping breakfast increases chances of heart attack or stroke. And let's see here. All right, so... Well, we'll take a little break here and come back on these stories. I don't know if you're still interested in getting into this. I'm sure you are at some level. This stuff about the order is so entertaining to see the left. It's like, speaking of little tiny worms, it's like watching one of those worms that gets dropped into a bottle of tequila. That's the left and their reaction to Trump. 716 AM, Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523, 1450. Be right back.
Well, I said, whoa. say love, oh love, broken is
Are you ready for some outrage? Are you ready for some football? Well, the football's not ready yet, but the outrage is piping hot here. Check it out. This is Keith Bathtub Boy Olbermann. Keith Olbermann, who's had 1,000 incarnations. He's like some Hindu deity. And now he's popping up on the compliments of GQ magazine, which has become a very political place. And he got the nickname Bathtub Boy because he was supposed to be on a broadcast, and they called him and called him and tried to get him to come in, and they figured out later he was at home in the bathtub. Anyway, here we go.
To the people of Syria and Iraq and France and Germany and Mexico and Canada and the world, permit me to apologize on behalf of the citizens of the United States of America for the unforgivable actions of the man who has assumed power here. I speak for those of us who, unlike Trump, unlike the sycophants who surround him, unlike the hate-filled souls and the conscience-optional bigots who applaud him, unlike the Russians.
Emphasis on sicko in sycophants.
And puppeteers who may be manipulating him. I speak for those of us who have not forgotten and will not forget that we are the descendants of the immigrants, often the refugees. We are the modern equivalents of those whom this pig Trump has just banished and degraded and in many cases likely, literally, sentenced to death.
He sentenced them to death. You know what this reminds me of? I mean, we could go on here, but it reminds me of one of the greatest speeches in the history of Hollywood from the movie Stripes from Bill Murray. I think this has even influenced the great Keith Olbermann.
We're all very different people. We're not Watusi. We're not Spartans. We're Americans with a capital A, huh? You know what that means? Do you? That means that our forefathers were kicked out of every decent country in the world. We are the wretched
refugees.
Hey, Kelly, it's Tony.
We're underdog.
Hey, let me put you on hold till this clip's done, okay?
Here's Drew.
Thanks.
His nose is cold. But there's no animal that's more faithful, that's more loyal, more lovable than the mutt.
All right, you mutts. We got Tony on the line speaking of mutts. Tony, good morning to you. Thanks for the call. And what's on your muttly mind here?
Oh, man. Listening to Keith Olbermann and all these mouthpieces for the left, it's just infuriating listening to how much hate comes out of them, and they're constantly calling Trump supporters and Trump and bigots. Just the hypocrisy is just mind-boggling.
Tony, are you there?
Yes.
I had some going on here. I'm struggling a little bit with my technology today. So, I mean, it always strikes me that the people that get up to apologize are the people that you least want to hear an apology from. Who is Keith Olbermann to apologize for anybody?
Exactly. I don't even understand why he's saying he's apologizing for me or anybody else in this country when most of us agree with what our president is doing. I mean, we have we're at a really important crossroads in this country where, as you had stated earlier, people are coming here not to be Americans, but they're coming here to be Syrians in America, Mexicans in America, and they're coming here to take from us rather than give something in return.
Would you
and they do feel empowered.
Yeah, but, you know, would you rather live with the mindset of today or the mindset of 50 years ago? I remember growing up hearing stories about, you know, like meeting kids and hearing about their parents. And sometimes you'd talk to their parents and they'd say, well, my grandfather came here from Italy. You know, for my own family, we came here during the potato famine. But, you know, a million people died in Ireland from the famine and a million people emigrated. And these people were absolutely thrilled to be in America and they did everything they could to assimilate. And now we've got these people living in these foreign countries who they're outraged that someone would hold them back for one more minute from coming to America because somehow that's their birthright.
Exactly. And my family was the same way. My grandfather on my father's side from Albania. And then I have, you know, grandparents from Brazil and from Italy. And the one thing I always remembered from them was they would always tell us, we came here to be Americans. And this is why they wouldn't teach us Albanian or Portuguese or Italian. They were saying, you were born here, you're an American, and that's why we came here. Gone. Those days are over.
Yeah, they're not only over, but, you know, when you deal with entitled people, and I deal with entitled people all the time, it's really a letdown because, you know, when you pick up this whiff of this attitude, the you owe me attitude, you know it's always going to play out the same way. You owe these people something, you give them what they want, they take it, and they move on. They're parasites. And I'm not just talking about financial, they're emotional parasites, they're intellectual parasites. You owe them, and they don't even need to acknowledge that you're a Homo sapien.
Oh, exactly. And you know, I left teaching in 2014, and one of the reasons was that whole attitude, that whole mentality that somehow I owed these children and their parents. And all you ever got from a lot of these kids was give me. I had to teach them how to say thank you and please and you're welcome. And it was always about me. Me, what do you have for me? Not what can I do for you?
And that's
where we're at. And even the younger generation, these millennials, have grown up the same way. They grew up in these schools where everything was free. Free lunch, free breakfast, free snack, free after-school program, babysitting. But, you know, the schools are babysitting with these parents and having to watch them until 5 o'clock.
Yeah, and I mean, there is just something going on with America that it's harming people. And the lesson that I was taking today was that there was a dangerous situation that was set up by the previous presidents, not just Obama, but, you know, George Bush, I think, had hand in it too. George Bush told people to go home when they went to the border to stop people from crossing. He said, go home, you know? So we've got a dangerous situation, and the left is, you know, it just struck me, the elites have failed us so profoundly. The elites on the left, the elites on the right. The Republican Party tried to kill Trump 1,000 times. The media is trying to kill Trump. And all this guy wants to do is fulfill his campaign promises. We've never seen a politician like this.
No, not at all. And, you know, the thing is with Donald Trump is, he says what he means and he means what he says. And that is something new in politics. We haven't seen that, especially in the years of Obama.
Yeah.
There's there's a conservative revolution going on, and people don't understand how many conservatives there are in this country because we don't take to the streets because we have to work. You know, we have lives. We have to raise our own children. We don't have the time to sit home and mass-produce Democratic voters and get paid for it by the welfare system.
Yeah, yeah, it's so true. I got to take a break here, Tony, but thanks for the call. Good call. All right, folks.
All right.
Here is your local news. Give me just a second here. Careless Love, one of the all-time classic country songs done by Ray Charles. Yeah, Ray Charles, he did this country album, and the people in the R&B were absolutely shocked. But Ray Charles grew up in Florida. He grew up in the South, and he loved country music. That's all there is to it. We'll be right back.
For you, in the footsteps of his childhood hero, Blonde John Hannah, back in 2005.
So in the midst of these exciting stories, I got to tell you, without too much detail, but looking at a case where it appears someone was arrested by security guards. And so I've envisioned, after hearing the story, I've envisioned creating a new series of movies, not kind of based on Police Academy security guards, security guard apocalypse, but it's a pretty entertaining story. And, you know, traditionally security guards don't really have any more authority than the private citizen. So remember that. Ooh, and we have a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning. This is Virginia.
Virginia, good morning. Hope you're well. And what's on your mind?
Well, I was considering the thoughts of Mr. Schumer and this other guy that was complaining about how we're treating these supposed refugees that are coming across. And the thought came to my mind is, where were these people, these same liberal people under the Obama administration, when they captured Osama bin Laden? That was the big deal. But they never lifted a hand to help the doctor that helped the CIA agency to capture Osama bin Laden. So I think these are crocodile tears. They're insincere. And the people that truly need our help have been left out.
Fair enough. Good points, Virginia. Thanks for the call. Have a good day. All right, folks, feel free to get your opinion on the record here. Even if you're a security guard, if you have been manhandled or womanhandled by a security guard, please feel free to call in and share your story. All right, so here is Brian Stelter. How can we be fair to Trump when he does all these crazy things? Of course, Brian Stelter wasn't trying to be fair to Trump too hard. Well, actually, I'm going to hold off on this until I take a little break here, but because I don't want to play a bunch of marginal stuff, you know. But we do have some interesting news on the weather front. More storms coming into the west coast of the United States and bringing heavy rain and mountain snow. And I told you that up in, I think it was Lake Tahoe, they had 8 feet of snow in 5 days, which is a pretty good standard. And I think up in Mammoth, they've got the highest snow total, and it's absolutely epic up there. So this is a good year to go skiing if you can get to the ski resort. And if when you get to the ski resort, you're able to ski, because at Mammoth, the ski chairs were covered over the pylons, over the towers, they were covered with snow. So it just really kind of an epic situation there. And all right, so let me play for you a little bit of this story coming out of the weather channel.
Weather in the Ohio Valley over the last couple of days, from, you know, not only lake effect snow in some areas, but we've also had this little clipper system that's been moving through over the last day or two, and it's actually still going on right now. But we've got another storm system coming up for the weekend that at least has a little bit of potential to maybe be something a little bit more significant. Now, as of right now, there's still a lot of uncertainty with this storm, but we know we've got a lot of moisture that's rolling in from the south. You got a lot of cold air that will be kind of dipping in.
This is including all the way through Texas, so it's near us.
Some, you know, rain-making and snow-making capability, depending on how cold the air is. So the farther toward the north you get, the better.
All right, doesn't matter. It's the East Coast. Who cares about the East Coast? But here is the West Coast Weather Channel.
From the significant, you know, snow and ice and rain that we've had in parts of the West, especially places like the Pacific Northwest, California. Remember this last ice storm we had in Portland? Well, buckle up, because we've got another storm system that's going to come ashore over the next day or so, and actually last through the end of the week. Let's play Find the Next Storm System. Can you find it on this map? Do you have to be a meteorologist to know where it is? I don't think so. Look at that guy. Man, it almost looks like a hurricane, and really and truly, it's not too distant of a relative. Just a big counterclockwise spinning area of low pressure. And in the northern hemisphere, that means bad weather. So here we go. The timing on this, it's going to roll in starting about early to midday Wednesday. You'll get some rain, Central Valley, out along the coast. And then the snow really starts to fill in out in the Sierra. Keep in mind, we could get some ice in Portland out of this storm. In fact, we're likely to get at least some, and the snow is just going to continue to pile up in the high terrain. Look at this, a couple more feet of snow up on Mammoth Mountain. This is all very good long-term for the drought. Keep that in mind.
So, and we've got at least an inch of rain all the way down the coast, and in some areas 2 to 3 inches, and then feet of snow up in the mountains. All right, so, okay, so a person came to the office, and all right, so, so I'll just give you the general outline of what happened. Is this person was going down a road that is not owned by the county, not owned by the city. This person is going down the road, and they see lights behind them. And so they pull over, and what they thought was green or blue and red lights turned out to be green lights. Or, pardon me, blue lights, just blue lights. So this person gets pulled over by security guards, and they end up getting arrested. So just let me say this. I've mentioned this before. I'm a lawyer, so obviously I tend to see things through the eyes of a lawyer. But if you get in trouble, unless it's your goal in life to get accused of stuff and immediately confess on the spot and keep that up, if you get in trouble, get a hold of an attorney. At least go into an attorney office and have a consultation. Don't call an attorney and demand a meeting over the phone. That's not fair to you. It's not fair to the attorney. There's no way you're going to get proper advice because the attorney doesn't have time to look at the paperwork, to sit down and hear the story. It's not really fair to the attorney. But the main thing is it's not fair to you because, you know, you're trying to get top-notch advice. And I've had a lot of people demand basically, a consultation over the phone. If you don't give it to them, certain percentage of people get angry. But you got to give yourself the best opportunity to come in and tell the whole story and all the details. Sometimes it's in the details of an arrest or an incident that the defense comes out. Don't forget that. So, you know, anyway, if you get arrested, it doesn't mean you're guilty. If you get prosecuted, it doesn't mean you're guilty. And especially these days, there are people getting prosecuted and even sent to prison that are innocent, believe it or not. And if I told you some of the details, you would be so shocked, you probably wouldn't want to leave your house. All right, so let's take a little break here and come right back. Kelly O'Connell and 523-1450 to call in, and it's 7:41. Let me get you the temperature because it's been a little bit nippy out there, friends. I'm still figuring out how to run this stupid iPhone here. I say that I want. And the temperature right now, 33 degrees. We'll be right back. But now I see. All right. So I want to get into here this idea. All right. Here is this thing. We do accept that there is such a thing as professionals, and a professional has more expertise and is a lot of times is training over and above other people in their field. A doctor has more training than a nurse, usually. Although nurses do a lot of the dirty jobs and should do a whole show on nurses, but a lawyer knows more than a paralegal. We understand that people that are journalists know more than a blogger sometimes, a lot of times, hopefully. Training, journalist degree, rising up through small papers into larger papers, into network media. But there has been going on for a long, long, long time this idea that the media has the right and, in fact, the duty to shape the news in a leftist way so people can see the truth. You have to understand that even as misguided as a lot of these journalists are, they do have some kind of, in my opinion, wholly indefensible, but some level of belief that what they're doing is to better the world. They're trying to shape and manipulate people into seeing the truth. All right. But they've taken it to a level now where they've just become hacks, and it's very dangerous because you can't find the truth in a lot of these stories. And through WikiLeaks and the last presidential election cycle, this has been exposed, and they're not running from it anymore. It's very sad to see the New York Times destroy itself and MSNBC just get imploded. And, there's so this guy that has taken over wants to create a new Fox because they realize that's where the money is. But also there is something attractive about Fox is that it seems like they're trying to tell the truth, maybe from their own, everybody tells the truth from their own advantage point, but trying to do it in a way that they can defend it as being the truth as far as I know it. Whereas the journalists on the left have for so many years involved themselves in subterfuge in misleading people, in the Catholic Church, there is a sin of omission, and that must be the media's favorite ploy. But here is Brian Stelter. He's a very strange guy, like a young Bob Newhart, and he's more clumsy than a tree sloth, and yet he's everywhere in the media talking about how you can't really give Trump the benefit of the doubt.
Right, a lot less protest coverage. What about the idea here the reporters are failing to stay neutral? Brooke, I ask this because it is true. About half the country in a recent poll supported this idea of a refugee ban. I'm not seeing half of the guests on cable news expressing support for it. Are newsrooms failing to stay neutral on this? Is neutrality even possible?
I don't know that neutrality any more than objectivity is possible. But fairness, of course, is always possible. And bringing a wide variety of views is also possible. I think the big problem is with every opinion, there are assertions made, and those assertions need to be checked. And so I think there should be more people coming on who support this ban, if that's in fact half the country or more. But they need to be, we all have to be working from the same information pool, and that's the confusion right now.
I was speaking with a correspondent for a major network, a different network this morning, Lydia, who said you'd be hard pressed to find a single journalist who covers the Middle East who's not furious and embarrassed by what the Trump administration just did. Now, that's the kind of journalistic feedback I'm getting privately. Is that an example of journalists knowing this subject more personally and more detail? Because in some cases, they've worked with Iraqis or Iranians or Yemeni citizens and thus know this story in a different way than the viewers do?
That's the entire conceit in a nutshell there. The media knows the truth. Now, I don't know if you were listening in a couple of months ago. It suddenly occurred to me there is this idea called Gnosticism, and I can explain, we're running out of time here, but I can explain Gnosticism by comparing it to something else. Most people understand that the Protestant faith is the Protestant church is based on faith. Through faith, you are saved. Through faith, you are given credit by God. Faith in Christ. Gnosticism is the total opposite of this. Through knowledge, you become saved. And that's what this person, Brian Stelter, just proposed, is that the people who have real knowledge and that can really save other people are the ones that have true enlightenment. Who are the ones that have true enlightenment? Through the media, because they've been exposed to the truth. All right, here is Gingrich responding to this.
And let's be honest, this is exactly...
He's not responding directly to this, but to this, he's going after the journalist.
What Steve Bannon was saying to the New York Times, left-wing, pro-abortion, anti-conservative news media are going to do everything they can to hide from the reality that there are vastly more Americans who care about life than there are who care about weird people wearing strange hats with kitty cat ears and talking about bombing the White House. I mean, the grotesque difference between the hard left that we saw on Saturday and the Americans who came together today, the difference in attitude, the difference in tone, the difference in language. I think a lot more Americans are comfortable with Vice President Pence's speech than with Madonna's speech.
Mm-hmm. So he gives a speech on life, the life movement, and Pence's evangelical. All right, let's take a one last break here, and we'll come back and to kind of top it off. But I think that you need to always, you know, including me, people that want you to listen to them and are trying to influence your opinion, what are their beliefs? And if you're Brian Stelter, the people who are reacting, the journalists who are reacting against the ban or the so-called ban are doing so because they're in touch with reality. That's the classic Gnostic statement. And these people are deluded. America does have a right to increase security to protect its citizens. In fact, it has a duty. Be right back.
Well, you know, I once was blind, but I'm so glad. So glad I see.
All right. Ever heard of a fat white terrorist? Check this out. Tim O'Rourke.
I actually just got back. I was in the back east and. Let me point one thing about flying, okay? There's no fat terrorists, okay? Not us, you know? No fat guy's gonna rush a cockpit. Like, excuse me, pardon me, excuse me, pardon me, excuse me. Just saying, leave us alone, all right? You know? I mean, literally, I'm going through LAX, which is like the worst airport because it's so paranoid here. So I check in, and if you check in LAX, you check in and go back outside to get in the security line, which is everybody and their brother in one big-ass line, right? So I get a line, go all the way through security. All of a sudden, I get through, grab my stuff, go, sir, sir, come back. And I go, yeah, what's wrong? He goes, can you take your shoes off? I go, yeah, but why do you want to take my shoes off? Well, they might be bombs. Don't you think my weight alone would have set that stuff off a long time ago?
All right, here is a little more from Newt Gingrich. We have the right to protect our citizens.
Spicer earlier today defending President Trump's temporary travel ban. Joining us now with reaction, the author of the New York Times bestseller Treason, former Speaker of the House, Fox News contributor, co-chair of the Great America Alliance. Newt Gingrich is with us. To me, fundamentally, this comes down to a very simple equation. Are we willing to inconvenience a few people, in the case of this weekend, 109 people, for the safety and security of the American people and not gamble with their lives? Is that the proper, am I framing this right?
Well, I think you are, and I think that's what the left doesn't want to deal with. We had 8 years of Barack Obama, who was always willing to take risk with American lives on behalf of people we'd never met, because anybody who wasn't an American somehow attracted Obama's compassion in a way that Americans didn't. You now have a president who really takes seriously the tremendous threat of international terrorism and who is prepared to take steps that are very tough-minded and that are going to inconvenience some people. But let's be clear, the people in the Orlando nightclub who were killed, they were pretty inconvenienced. The people in San Bernardino who were killed at the Christmas party, they were pretty inconvenienced. The people in Berlin who were killed when a truck went into a Christmas market, they were pretty inconvenienced. I think we have to recognize that we as a country have the right to protect our own citizens, and that that is precisely what this is aimed at.
You know, everyone in the media.
All right. So a good note to end on. Thanks for tuning in. And AM Las Cruces, of course, Kelly O'Connell. And we'll be back tomorrow and get back into it. But it doesn't seem like this outrage over Trump is going to end, does it? It's always going to be one thing or another that stirs up the media, and they're going to give themselves the right to lie because they think we're so dumb they have to lie to us to lead us to the truth. And man, what a mess we're in with the media. Anyway, have a great day and stay warm. We'll be back in 22 hours. Thanks for tuning in. Kelly O'Connell, ciao.
But I have been, but I'd be one all over again. Well, you know, if I can, like a morning dove.